Merry Christmas. We feel so fortunate to be in your homes today and during this Christmas season, where we rejoice in our Savior and remember the birth of our Lord Jesus and the reason he came, to die for our sins and strengthen us in our faith. I'm Mike Salem. From all of us at CWH, we are grateful for your continued support and prayers for this ministry. Today, my dad continues with the December series and the fourth reason of the Incarnation, the enfleshment of our Lord. In his sermon titled, Christ Came to Demonstrate the Love of God, may God bless you and keep you during this Christmas week. We pray that the peace, love, and joy of Jesus Christ will fill your hearts and homes. Merry Christmas.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And isn't this a beautiful, wonderful day? Tonight is Christmas Eve, and we can hardly believe it's here, but here it is. And don't you just love Christmas? And we've just spent all the month of December talking about why Jesus came. And today we're going to be talking about he came to demonstrate the love of God. And so call your friends, have them tune us in, and we can all celebrate the coming of our dear Lord. We're looking at the words of Isaiah today, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. It's a prophecy about 700 years before Jesus was born. This is what he said. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with justice and with judgment from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Heavenly Father, we just rejoice this Christmas Eve as we think of the coming of your dear Son, Jesus. And here he is, Isaiah tells us, that he's going to be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he's going to have his government, there shall be no end. He's going to sit on the throne of David, and there'll be no end to his government because he will never die. We just thank you for Jesus, beautiful, beautiful Jesus. And bless us as we think upon his name today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Jan's going to sing, O Holy Night, and God bless you, Jan.
Night, the
Thank you, Jan. Isn't this a wonderful time? You know, we have a big celebration at Easter, but there's just something about Christmas that's just all its own. And here we are coming on Christmas Eve and the coming of the Savior. And in all the time of eternity, there'll be only once when he'll come. But he came, and he came and went to the cross. He's raised from the dead, and sometimes he's some days coming again, but he'll only come once as a little baby. Well, we want to share some of our letters. We get so many nice letters, and some of you like them, and so we'll just read them. And so many times people ask questions, and then somebody will say, well, I wanted to ask that question too, but I just never got around to writing, or I just didn't think I was a good question or something. So maybe we're answering several questions on some of these letters. And the first one comes from a prison. And he writes in his Grand Junction, Colorado. He says, I hope I happened to stop by your show. I know that it was by accident. I had a few friends that committed suicide. Now I'm being told that they lost their salvation since they took their lives out of Jesus' hand. Please send me your booklet on suicide. And can a Christian lose their salvation? I need to know how to defend the biblical view. And we do hear from people. Right away, if they'll say if a person takes his life, and we can tell you if that person accepted Jesus, they're safe at home with the Lord. And it's interesting here that he says that these people lost their salvation since they lost their salvation since they took their lives out of Jesus' hand. Now, you know, they don't know what they're saying, because, for instance, you take John 10, 28 and 29. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then my Father holds me in his hand, and they will never pluck them out of my Father's hand. And so they say they took themselves out of Jesus' hand. You mean you're bigger than Jesus? You're stronger than Jesus? Something happened to your brain if you had one? God has all power, and when we think that we can do something with God's out of his will or out of his power, we just don't know what we're talking about. So we're all glad to send this book that you just write for suicide. It's about a 12-page booklet, so if you can send a gift to help us, that'll be wonderful. But I know that a lot of times people in prison or so people on Social Security just don't have it. So in that case, somebody else will help us, and we'll always send you a copy. And I'll give you the address in just a minute. So get your pencil and paper ready. I'll get to that in just a second. Here's Tampa, Florida. You and the team are a bright light in the world that seems it would rather live in darkness. Isn't that something? You'd rather live in darkness. But that's what Jesus said in John 3:19. He says, they love darkness rather than light. Love darkness. They'd rather stay in the darkness than the light. And then he tells us why. Jesus tells us why they like the darkness. He says, because their deeds are evil. They're sinful people. They're wicked people. And they do it in the darkness, in the night. And so when we come to preaching of the gospel, the light of the world is Jesus. And as a matter of fact, you know, we have a little Bible study. And we're going to be studying about that one of these days soon. So you can write to us and ask for the new song. And we'll send it to you. Now, this month, the month of December, we're preaching, our little Bible study is about gifts that money can't buy. Gifts that money can't buy. And so it's all scripture, and you'll have a good time studying it. And we have people that use it for Sunday school. We have prisoners that use it together, gather together. We have in retirement homes. So we're just glad you can use it. Free and postpaid. We really ought to charge something for it. It's such a wonderful little paper, but no, we're really good-hearted here. We're big-hearted, and we'll probably go broke, but we'll be happy. So it's up to you to keep us out of the red. Here is Prescott, Arizona. Thank you for sharing your love for the Lord Jesus. Appreciate your down-to-earth sermons. And they are down-to-earth. They're down so that the children can understand. And we get letters from children every once in a while, 9 years old, 10 years old, long in there. and they listened to the services, and some have accepted Jesus. I was 10 years old when I accepted the Lord, and that's as real to me today as if it was last night, at 10 years old. But that evangelist told me we had to have Jesus. And if we had Jesus, he talked about the Good Samaritan and how he was left in rags and bloody and all, and how the Good Samaritan, the robber had robbed the Samaritan. And here comes a man, a Jewish peddler, and he comes and he takes care of the man, and he puts on new clothes and clean clothes. And that's what Jesus does, because we're all in our sins and our clothes are all dirty and they're ragged and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. And Jesus comes and he clothes us with his righteousness. I remember that just as sure as day, 10 years old. I have a daughter, Patty, accepted the Lord when she was 5 years old. She's a grandma now, still living for Jesus. Don't tell me children can't accept the Lord. Here is Fargo, North Dakota. I watch you every Sunday. My week is not the same without your Sunday service. You have changed my life to bring the Lord to me, and everything is better. I open my door to the Lord, to my heart, and I'm a different person and so blessed. Your program is touching so many lives. Keep up the good work and all the people behind the scenes. Enclosed is a gift to keep you on the air and doing what you do best. May God bless you all. So that's an encouraging letter. And it does change lives. The Lord does change lives. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to heal all your diseases and you're going to get rich or something like that. But he'll give you peace. And the world doesn't have peace. That's why they're running like crazy to the bars and wild drinking and wild living and crazy living. And because they're searching, they're wanting something. You see, we're made for God. Until we find God, we'll never find peace. And you find God through Jesus. You have to have Jesus. You have to ask him into your heart and ask him to take away your sins. And you'll be settled. And you may be not going to get rich, and you might not even get well. You might be on a bed of sickness. You say, if I accept Jesus, I'll get healed. Well, St. Paul wasn't healed. He had an infirmity. And he said he prayed to God. 3 times he prayed. And then God said, Paul, don't ask me anymore. I'm not going to heal you. And so then Paul got mad and he went stomping off. No, he didn't. You know what he said? I glory in my sickness. I'll glory in it. I'll use it to the glory of God, see? So that Lord will help you have peace no matter where you're at. Might deliver you, might not. Really doesn't matter, because he saves your soul. Let's see, Highmore, South Dakota, good old South Dakota. Just a line to let you know how much we like your service. You preach from the heart and teach the true word of God from the Bible. You make it easy to understand for people to accept Jesus as their Savior. You preach so straightforward, you do not pull any punches. Preach the word of God, yours truly. That is a nice letter. And what we're pointing out here is all of the emphasis on this service, whether it's the singing or the preaching, is the Bible, the Word of God. That's where the power is. And I tell these young pastors, preach the Bible. Preach the Bible. And when you preach the Bible, you can preach with authority. You can get up and say, this is the way it is, Buster. Bango. And that's it. And then quote your scripture. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's it. No more. You have Jesus or you don't. You're saved or you're lost. That's all. Love to preach. And then if when you get mad, you can get mad at God, because I'm just quoting God. That's all I'm doing. Here's Billings, Montana. I was raised in a Christian family and fell away from Jesus for many years. I've found a relationship with Jesus through your ministry. I've learned that my Heavenly Father loves me even when I no longer followed him. Please continue to preach the truth and forgiveness through Jesus. May God continue to bless your ministry. That's a good letter. And you know, I'm going to tell you, this is for backsliders. people that drift away. I've drifted away from the Lord different times in my life. Got busy, got to working too much or something, and, you know, never got anywhere. I was put in jail. I probably should have been put in jail sometimes. I don't know. But you just trust Jesus. And when you walk with the Lord, and if you drift away, you can always come back. And I'm going to close my sermon today. That's part of my closing part, if I don't forget it or miss it or run short of time or something. But I have in my mind, I'm going to tell the way of salvation, ask you to come to Jesus. And then I'm going to tell you, if you drifted away, what better time to come back to Jesus than Christmas Eve? Christmas Eve, I wandered around and I left my Lord, but I came back to Jesus. Wouldn't that be something? Let me see. Here's Kewanee, Illinois. My daughter and I are telling you we want you to be our pastor. God bless you, and we love you. Well, now we get a good number of letters like this, and this is the way I answer that. You should go, if you possibly can, go to church. The church is an institution of God, and go to church where they preach the Bible. But if you can't, then we'll be glad to have you worship with us. And then finally, in Canada, we have a person that writes, and they say, we hope that you will help. May God keep you preaching for years to come, your Canadian listeners. So now, if you'd like to help us in this work, and we do need your help all the time, and because we're not underwritten by any organization or denomination, it's just that we're depending on God's people. And so you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We have a lot of people who are listening to us on shortwave radio. And so you don't have a screen. And so I'll give that a couple of times. So get your pencil and paper ready. And if you'd like to get our little Bible study this month, we're talking about gifts that money can't buy. And they're all, it's got scriptures in it that you can read and study, and it'll help you spiritually. And then you'll ask for the new song. And it's also our monthly mailing, and we get it every month. We send it out, and you'll find blessing, and you'll see what we're doing. And then you can pray for us and help us along. And then we do need your help. We need your gifts. And James says, you have not because you ask not. You see, if I don't say we need some help, why, then you'll think, well, he must have enough, or he let us know, you know. If you're short, you tell people. Well, so we're not short. We're making it. We'll be able to pay all of our bills on time. But we need to have that income all the time. We're just like the dentist. We live from hand to mouth all the time. And so you need to send us somewhere just day by day, and that's all we need. God sent the manna for 40 years, and we've been on almost 40 years, and we've always had enough. And so you write to us and give us to the Christian Worship Hour, and then send it to Box 2002 in Aberdeen. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, how do I know that guy's going to use it? He looks kind of suspicious to me. Looks like he's 96 years old. He might go on a big party. You know, you go on a lot of parties when you're 96. You go to bed is what you do. You go to bed at 8. But you say, well, I don't know, maybe he's gambling. You know, well, I'm 96, you're smarter than that, you don't gamble. But here's the thing. We're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It's an international organization, and they do churches all over the world. And to be a member of that, they have to audit your books. And when they audit the books, I'm going to tell you they audit the books. They drive you crazy. They're everywhere. And they go through and they check everything we take in and everything we spend. And if it doesn't balance out just exactly the way we promised to do it, we're in trouble. They drop us. So we're a full member and we're proud of it. So let me give the address one more time. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And oh, I forgot, you can give over the internet. ChristianWorshipHour.com and get donated, and we get donations from all over the world. I'm going to get fired. I forgot about that. ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can send us a gift. We'll get it in American currency. We'll pay our bills. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play, and you give as God lays on your heart. Heavenly Father, Thank you for your people everywhere who support this work. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. And now I'm really happy to have a special guest, my little granddaughter, Rachel. She's going to sing Mary, Did You Know? God bless you, Rachel.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Mary, did you know?
Thank you, Rachel. God bless you. Rachel is a junior in high school. Yeah. So God bless her. I just love her. We're reading from Luke chapter 2. And what else could we read on Christmas Eve but Luke chapter 2? And beginning with the first verse. And then we have a prayer. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in India. And every week we pray for another country, and this time it'll be India. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea and under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused by wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Dear Heavenly Father, this Christmas Eve, we just thank you for the record of the coming of your son. It's changed the whole world, and as I know, it's changed my life and the lives of countless numbers of people. Thank you for Jesus, the Savior. We just love him so much, and he's such a great Lord now, standing at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in India today. And we think of those in the persecuted church that our Christmas Eve might be a hard time for them. There may be sorrow and there may be suffering. And just I know, Lord, that you're with them. You're closer to them than you are to anyone. And that you're mindful of their needs, and so comfort their hearts. And Lord, help them to know that they're an encouragement to us and they're a challenge to us and they make us better because of their faithfulness to you. Thank you, Lord. Now bless us in this service. May all we do and say honor Jesus, beautiful, wonderful Jesus. In his name, amen. Melissa has a song, and you're going to know it, and it's one of my favorites, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all mortal sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, and in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, and be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide in us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Well, thank you, Melissa. And that's just perfect for what we need. We're thinking about Jesus born in Bethlehem. And what better time of the year to think of the Savior than on the time of his birth, the time of his birthday. And of course, we always want to remember that that wasn't the beginning of Jesus. That was just the beginning of his earth life, his physical life. And because he was God, he was forever God, a beginning and no ending. He's God. And so this wonderful God is being born. He's going to take a body, and that's the beginning of him as a body. And it was flesh like ours, except without sin. And so we're going to look at the fourth reason today, and that is the reason for the incarnation. And that is Jesus came to demonstrate the love of God. And when we talk of the incarnation, we mean the enfleshment of the Lord. And we want to remember that we worship a wonderful God. And when we see Jesus, and when we study his life, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have a wonderful God, a God who has all power. He created all things. And then not only did he create all things, but he holds all things together. By him, all things consist. And he has all knowledge, and he knows all things. He has all the wisdom of the world. And when we lean upon him and look to him for guidance, he can direct and guide and help us in the things. He has all wisdom. He has, that is, he knows how to use knowledge. You've heard about educated fools. They have a lot of knowledge, but they don't have any wisdom. But God has all the knowledge of the world and all the wisdom of the world. He knows the future. He's a wonderful God who knows the future. We can't look into tomorrow, but he can look into tomorrow. He can look into the next world. He can look into eternity. He can see as time exists, and then beyond that, even into eternity. There's just no one like our wonderful God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I want to tell you something else about this wonderful God. His main attribute is love. The main attribute of God is love. We can read in the Bible that God loves us, and we revel in that thought. Then God says, I'll prove my love to you. I'll show you I love you, and I'll show you how much I love you. I'll give you my Son, my only begotten Son. I'll give you my just Son, the joy of my life, my perfect Son, my greatest treasure. Is all more than heaven to me. I'll give you everything. I'll give it to you. And so I'll show you how much I love you. And he sent his Son, and he came to this cruel world. And in this world as a man and as God, he died a cruel death on the cross. And he did it because he loved us. And he did it because God was going to show us that he loved us. And if you ever wonder if God loves you, you look at the cross. Look at the cross. If you have troubles and trials and you feel like God has forgotten you, isn't any there anymore, then you look at the cross and you'll see that he's there. You look if you have your prayers and you say your prayers and you pray over and over and nothing happens. And after a while you think, I don't think God even thinks of me. I don't think he even knows I exist. Well, then when that happens, you look at the cross, the old rugged cross. If you have troubles and trials today, and who doesn't? But some people have troubles and trials that are far greater than any that I've had. Some people are right to the point of death. And if you are in that awful extremities of life as Job was, well, then what you need to do is just to wonder if God loves you, look at the cross, and you'll see that he loves and cares. If Satan tries to discourage you, and especially if you're sick or when you get down, that's when the devil comes the most. He's a coward. He's a coward of the worst sort. And if one of God's children is down physically or maybe emotionally or maybe they're... I talked to a man just the other day, called and talked, and he has this terrible depression and he doesn't know what to do. And somehow if he can get his eyes on Jesus and trust in the Lord and lean on the Lord. Look at the cross. Look at the cross. He loves you. Jesus feels love you. And how can you ever feel downhearted when you see how Jesus suffered for you? If you would have been the only person in the world, he would have suffered for you. He would have done it for you. And you know, there's a scripture in Hebrews. It's so beautiful. And it says, Jesus is going to the cross. He says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Can you believe it? He rejoiced that he could go to the cross because he loved you that much. We cannot comprehend it because it's an infinite love, far beyond any love that we have. But that's the wonderful God that we serve. So keep your eye on the Lord. And the grand expression of that love is the death of the Lord on the old rugged cross. So when Jesus was born of Mary, He knew what lay ahead of him. He knew that he would go to the cross. He knew the whole story. Mary didn't. She had an inkling there's going to be sorrow because old Simeon said, there's going to be a sword that'll pierce your soul. And I think of Jesus when he's on the cross and Mary standing there. And how did she feel? It must have been a sword going through her very soul. She didn't know those things were going to happen, but Jesus knew all of the suffering that was going to happen, and he gladly went to that cross. And sometimes says, well, look at, he was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, so he was scared to death. He wasn't afraid. Jesus never was afraid of the cross. He embraced the cross and went to the cross. And the reason he suffered and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in Gethsemane was he was taking the filthy, dirty sins of the world into a sinless, pure body. And that's what broke his soul. That's why he agonized. It wasn't because he was afraid to die. He did it with great pleasure because he loved us. And so this wonderful Lord, he just demonstrates the love of God. Sometimes we have little children, we take them, and then we'll say, how much do you love me? And they put their little arms around your neck and you about die. And then we say to Jesus, how much do you love us? And he opens his arms with the spikes on the cross. And he says, that's how much I love you. And then he was raised from the dead, and he puts his arms around us, and he carries the little lambs. And Isaiah says he also carries the old gray heads. And I like that, because that's where I'm at. And so whether you're young or you're old, he loves us, and he cares for us. And then so we have to be very careful, because we never loved him. We didn't follow him. And we weren't as close to him as we should be. And we loved him and we don't deserve his love. And that's what we call grace. And grace simply is unmerited favor. Favor that we didn't deserve. We didn't deserve God's love, but the grace of God. And I'm going to tell you something else. Of all of the religions in the world, only Christianity has the word grace. Wonderful grace. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, where grace abounded, sin did much more abound. The wonderful grace of God. And so it's my thinking. Sometimes people are saying, oh, but I've been so bad. And I've sinned against God, and he'll never take me. He will never have me. Maybe you're thinking, oh, I'm a terrible sinner. I knew better. I sinned anyway. And what I hear so many times, people will say, I sinned against life. I knew it was wrong and I did it anyway. And I made fun of the Christians, or I took his name in vain. I'm living a terrible life. Oh, maybe I lived that terrible life last night. And he'll never have me. I blew it. He'll have no part of me. Well, I'm going to tell you something, dear friends. Jesus loved us even in our sins. Even though we're a terrible sinner, he'll come to him in repentance and he'll save you. And there's tells the story of a great evangelist and a Moody. And he was preaching one time in an outdoor venue. And he was preaching and he says, Jesus Christ will save the devil's castaways. And there were two prostitutes in the edge of the crowd walking by. And they said, he must be talking to us. And they came to Jesus. And one of them left a note and said, tonight two lost people heard your message that God would save the devil's castaways. And we have found grace in Jesus Christ. That's why I love to preach. I love to preach because I've got good news. And I don't care where you are and I don't care what you've done. And you can come to Jesus. And let me warn you something. Don't get cleaned up to come to Jesus. I talk to these people, they say, I want to be a hypocrite. So I'm going to watch out how I live and I'm going to get my life all cleaned up. And then I'll come to Jesus. You know where they get that idea? Get that from the devil. Because he knows you'll never get cleaned up on your own. You just come as you are. Because that old nature, you just can't do anything with it. And the more you work with the old nature, the worse it's going to get. It's just like the poor little old lady. And she lived in a sod house. My wife lived in a sod house, and the floor is dirt. And so this little old lady lives in this sod house with the dirt floors. And she says, oh, I got to clean up. And so she gets water and a mop, and she mops that floor. And it's getting more of a mess, and she puts in some soap, and she scrubs. And the more she scrubs, the worse it gets. And she finally gives up in despair. That's the way you're going to do with your life. You can't clean up your act. You can't clean up your act until you come to Jesus. And then he'll help you clean up your life. And you'll want to clean up your life and get a new life. And Jesus taught repentance to turn from our sins. But we turn to Jesus from our sins. We don't turn from our sins to Jesus. We turn to Jesus and the sins are there. We'll take care of them later on. Like one old pastor said, just remember this. Jesus doesn't clean his fish until he catches them. And once we come to Jesus, then he gives us the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you another little secret. You'll never be perfect. You want to strive for perfection, but you're never going to be perfect. The old nature can never be treated, never be handled. So God gives us a brand new nature. Of course, once we are born again, we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we start cleaning up. Then we try to be better. Then we try to keep his commandments. Then we try to love our neighbor as ourselves. Then we live above the world and the things of the world. And we live a different culture than the world has. He John tells us, you know, that you love the world, you cannot love the Father. He that loves the world will despise the Father. You can't have God and mammon both. And you have to just separate from the world and live for the Lord. That all comes after you know the Lord. And so this wonderful Jesus, he will just help you. And then that love of Christ will even shine brighter. And that love of Christ will always be with us. And it just seems like it's the greatest thing in the world to know that he loves us and he cares for me. And I know that when I fail, I may grieve him, but he'll never turn his back on me. And there's been many times I failed the Lord, but he's never failed me. And someone has said, I've been out of his will, but I've never been out of his love. And that's where you are. If you're a child of God, he loves you. He wants you to come back. We'll talk about that. I'm going to close having you come back to Jesus. But if you've never come to Jesus, you come to Jesus. And this love, this great love of his, will conquer you. And it gets so that, you know, I remember when I was a boy, I just loved my mother. I just worshiped her. And we had hired men. and they smoked and they drank beer and they lived like just hoodlums and they gambled and they did all those things. And my mother would teach me, now don't you do that, Harold. Don't you get into that. Don't you touch it. Don't you touch a cigarette. I never took a drink in my life. And my mother, and you know, I didn't do it. I didn't do it because I was afraid of getting a bad habit. I kept away from those things because I didn't want to disappoint my mother. She believed in me. And that's what it is with God. It gets so that we love God. We don't want to disappoint him. And so we live for him and we serve him. And that wonderful gift of God, he starts to give it to us. And all of a sudden we find that the love of Christ is within us. And Jesus said, let your light so shine before men, let your love show before men, that they may see your good works. Live your different lifestyle. You'll never be perfect. You'll never be perfect. But you work at it. And you'll be better, and you'll be more like Jesus. And the closer you are to Jesus, the better you'll get. And people will see that. Jesus Christ, this wonderful Jesus with his love. And the poet, the hymn writer has it, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain this whole, though stretched from sky to sky, no way to measure it. The biographer of Bishop Watts, a man named Ditchfield, relates that when he was a child, he was one day in the house of a very old woman, and she asked him to read a text that she had, framed text on the wall. And the boy read it, and it says, "Thou God seest me." And then the old woman said, "When you're older, little boy, when you're older, people will tell you that your God is watching you all the time, so you better be careful what you do." But she says, that isn't what the verse tells me. She said, I don't want you to think of it that way. I want you to take that text home and remember all your life that God loves you so much, he can't take his eyes off of you. That's the way he loves me, and that's the way he loves you. And this wonderful Savior, what a wonderful love, the love of God. And sometimes I'm sure we all say, I wished I loved Jesus more. I wished I was better. But oh, listen to this, dear friend of mine. Just put your faith in Jesus and help that grow. And just remember, Jesus loves you. I read of a little girl, and she just loved her grandmother. And her grandmother would tell her stories about Jesus and talk to her about heaven and all those things. And then one day the grandmother became ill and she died. And upon informing the little girl granddaughter, there was a little inevitable tears. And the little girl cried for a little bit. And the words, and then the little girl said, "Oh, won't Jesus be glad to see Grandma?" You know, we're always saying we'll be glad to see Jesus, of course. But this little girl says, won't Jesus be glad to see Grandma? That's right. That's how he loves us. We usually say that way, other way around. And so he's glad because he loves us so much. You say, that's unbelievable. I can't understand. But you can, when you come to Jesus, you'll find that love is everlasting. That love is eternal. So we come to Christmas Eve, the night that Jesus was born of Mary. And why did he come? Why was he born? The Christ child was born because God loved us. Jesus came to express the purpose of making that love known and that making the way possible then of salvation, all because he loves us. And like Phillips Brooks writes in that Melissa just sang, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek hearts will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. And so this is Christmas Eve, and this is wonderful Jesus. And they'll enter into your heart if you ask him and you say, oh, I want Jesus. This is Christmas Eve. What better time to come to Jesus? This is Christmas Eve when Jesus was born. Now it's Christmas Eve and Jesus can be born in my heart, but I don't know how. And I'll tell you how. You just go to Jesus in your own words and you just tell him that you're a sinner and you're sorry for your sins. Don't get fancy and don't worry about the thee and the thous. Just talk to Jesus. I had a man not too long, some time ago, and I led him to the Lord. It was while I was in the nursing home. He was dying of cancer. And when he accepted Jesus, and then I had him pray. And he prayed and asked for forgiveness. And then he didn't know you're supposed to say amen. He said goodbye. That's fine. Just use your own words and talk to him and say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And dear Jesus, I'll follow you the best I can." That means you're going to change your lifestyle. And you're going to start doing some things and you're going to stop doing some things. But that'll all come and fall in his place. And then I can tell you upon the authority of God's word, there's that authority. He that hath the Son hath life. If you have Jesus, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You are saved. The moment you ask Jesus into your heart, you are born again. You're his child forever and ever. And why don't you do that today, right now, Christmas Eve? And then there may be some of you that have drifted away. And you have to walk with the Lord and then you got hurt or something happened or you got busy or like this letter that we read, he got to eating from the devil's table, he said, and he ended up in prison. And so maybe you drifted away and you could come to the Lord. You could come back home and just do that. Just say, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry." And God will open his arms and take you back. Now, if you do that, you write to us. We'll send you literature. Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You write to us or you get us on the internet and you can pray on that. We've got some prayer on there. And we'll send you some literature. And in the meantime, if you'd like to be on our mailing, you just say the new song. You love it. And then you can just send a gift. We have to have your help. If you think this is a service that needs to that should be going, then you need to support us. We have to pay our way just like anybody else, and we're glad to do it. And by the way, we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, so you don't need to worry. We're checked head and toe, backwards and forwards, every penny we take in and spend. So you write to us. Now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just praying for all of those today who opened their heart to you, that there'll be a peace and a joy. But Lord, we're praying for those in prison, and we're praying for those people who are shut-ins and they can't get out. We're praying for the sickly. We're praying for those in beds, praying for those in wheelchairs, that Lord, you'll know that you promised, "I'll never leave thee or forsake thee." You'll always be there for them and help them to lean on you. And not to be afraid, but just to know you are there. And this Christmas Eve, Lord, give them a special peace and a special joy. Be with the young people who have a struggle in life and decisions to make. Be with those with young people and children and all. Bless them, help us. And help us, Lord, to be sure that we are serving you and following you. In Jesus' name, amen. So now you write to us. I got it on the screen there. All of you people in shortwave, it's Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We hope you have a wonderful Christmas Eve, and we hope that you'll have a wonderful new year, and we'll be back to start the new year next week, Lord willing. And so may you have a great evening tonight, and may God be especially close to you. And oh yes, I have to say, before I go, I can't forget. Merry Christmas. God bless you. And we'll see you next Sunday, Lord willing. God bless you in his name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.